Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, James Gilliland, and we are broadcasting from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, home of East SETI and the Self-Mastery Earth Institute, otherwise known as Paranormal and UFO Central. We have a great guest tonight, Preston Dennett, and before we waste any more time, I'd like to welcome Preston on the show. Are you with us, Preston?
I am. Thank you. Great to be here.
Great. Glad to have you on. I was looking at your accomplishments there with your books, and they sound right up my alley. You've got a book on OBEs, out-of-body experiences, and ghosts, and extraterrestrials, and it seems like you've had quite an unlimited journey there.
Yeah, I'm interested in pretty much all aspects of the paranormal, I would say. I started out with UFOs, but as you know, that kind of leads from one thing to another.
Yeah.
And yeah, I branched out into ghosts and out-of-body experiences, and been investigating a lot of different stuff since then. Cryptozoology.
You'd love it up here. This would be a playground for you where I live.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's amazing. We just had a couple UFO investigators up here over the weekend, and they brought some real good night vision goggles and telescopes and lasers and the whole nine yards, and the ships came right in, and they signaled, and the ship signaled back, and we got it all on film.
Wow, that's amazing. See, I think a lot of people are beginning to realize that that's a great avenue for research, that you can actually go into the field and have live interaction with these craft.
Yeah, it's pretty much ongoing here. We've got some just incredible footage just the past two weekends up here. That's pretty undeniable. What was your beginning? You said you started with the more of the ET experiences. Could you go deeper into that?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was very skeptical growing up, and I never really had any UFO experiences. But in 1986, I heard a report on the news about a UFO sighting over Alaska. And I didn't really believe it, but I made the mistake of asking my friends and family what they thought of this ridiculous UFO story. And that's when I got a real shock. I found out that probably about a quarter or a half of the people I knew had some type of UFO experience. And some of these were actually really dramatic. My sister-in-law, she not only saw a UFO, but she was walking outside near her home in Van Nuys. This is in California. And she saw what she thought were two children standing along the sidewalk. This was late at night. And as she got closer to them, she realized that they were bald, they had very large heads, and they were wearing jumpsuits, and they looked identical. And when she got right up to them, like 10 feet away, they turned and looked at her. And they were the typical grays that you hear a lot about. And, of course, this was well before they were publicized a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did she have any missing time or anything after that?
No, she didn't. She said she just walked home as quickly as she could without panicking. Uh-huh. And didn't really talk about it after that. But my other sister-in-law, she had visitations as a child with blue-skinned entities. And my brother, he saw a UFO with his friends and chased it across the San Fernando Valley here. So it really hit home for me. I started interviewing all these people that I knew who had sightings.
The blue beings your other sister saw, can you go deeper into description on those?
Yeah, you know, at first she didn't tell me about this actually for a long time. And when she did, I was really very shocked. I just found it hard to believe. But as she gives a very typical description, which I've heard many times now, of these 3 to 4 foot tall midget-like figures, which don't look like the grays, look very much more like a normal human being, except their faces are wrinkled and they are very strange looking with dark piercing eyes and a bluish skin. And they wore clothes, some sort of loose-fitting tunic type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to her for like 2 or 3 weeks out of 1 month, and that was it, just for a short period of time, and came to draw information out of her, which is at least the impression that she got.
We'll have to bring your sisters up to the ranch here and see what happens. I've noticed there's a lot of people that have had contacts or experiences in the past. And when they come up here, the energy just feels like home, and everything kicks on again. But, you know, it's a real benevolent experience for them.
Yeah, and there's some places it seems that just are really attractive to UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's funny because since I never saw a UFO growing up or anything until I started researching this stuff. And since then, I've had probably like a dozen sightings, and some of them really close up.
What did the ships look like that you experienced?
Well, probably the first really exciting one I saw. I mean, I saw some unusual lights and stuff in the beginning. But one of the most exciting earlier sightings I had was I was driving home one evening, and a small ball of light kind of swooped down in front of my windshield and hovered there for a few seconds. And, you know, at first I thought it was a bird. I'm like, what is this? I remember it was just like July 20th something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew it wasn't a firecracker or something, which was my initial thought. And I thought, is this a bird? But I saw it long enough to see it was a golf ball-sized glowing ball of white light. And it just took off straight up through the trees. And since then, I've had that experience a couple of times, you know, three or four more times. And it always stays long enough for me to know for sure that it's not a reflection or anything like that.
We get a lot of reports of those. A lot of people up here, when they're going home, for some reason, they see these balls of light right in front of their car, and they range anywhere from like a golf ball size to something about maybe a foot wide.
Wow. I imagine they're probes of some kind. I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea.
That's what I figured. We had a strange experience here that was, you know, you mentioned cryptology or whatever. We had an experience here where we had a light sphere, maybe about a foot wide, go zipping through the forest and come right at us and then fly around us. And then it went and maneuvered down this trail and around a Volkswagen van and down this trail. And when it stopped, we started hearing this moaning. And at the other end, right where this light went, there ended up to be a Bigfoot.
Oh, wow.
I'm starting to wonder if these beings can travel as a light sphere and reappear, because they do seem to disappear and reappear. And there's quite a few people up here that have seen them. And I just sent a picture out over my website where a camper, or I'd say a backpacker, just took an incredible picture of this Bigfoot about 8 feet tall walking across a snowfield up here.
Wow.
You know, so it seems like this is all tied in together. I don't know what your feelings are, but it seems like the light spheres, Bigfoot, and the ETs and the craft and the crop circles, it seems to all come together.
There is a weird connection. I'm not sure what it is. I remember when I first started hearing about Bigfoot, I kind of resisted researching it. And I even had some of my friends and associates tell me, oh, Bigfoot, you know, you're going to ruin your reputation if you start looking into that. But I kept hearing reports, and some of them were from people I knew. And one gentleman, he lives in Canyon Country, he said he saw a strange light land in his backyard, just right a few meters away from his house. And there's no buildings or anything out there, so this was obviously something that was strange. And it only stayed there for a few minutes, and then it took off or disappeared. But the very next night, he was woken up in the middle of the night by his dogs barking and this ungodly howling sound coming from the same area. And he knew instantly what it was because he had this telepathic connection, he said, to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bigfoot, and it was scared of the dogs, and it was annoyed at the dogs. And it let out three long howls, one after another. And this guy was convinced that it was Bigfoot.
Yeah, that howl is unmistakable. I've heard it up here. They did a research project up here. I think it was the American Academy of Sciences. And they interviewed all the people up here that had Bigfoot sightings. And what was amazing is that they're down to the detail. They all gave almost the exact same details and specific information. And there's a book. It's a big, thick book on all the sightings that we've had in the area by very prominent people. These are people that are doctors and people with PhDs and very skeptical people.
I totally believe it because I interviewed this other lady who had not only had a number of UFO experiences, she started having this Bigfoot come around her house.
Mm-hmm.
And she had other witnesses who saw it. There were footprints, and it was leaving dead animals at her doorstep. One evening, they heard a big knocking sound on their roof. She was too afraid to go outside, but the next morning she went outside and there was this giant boulder on her roof. It took two guys, two full-grown men, to get it off the roof. So, and she could smell it, of course.
Yeah.
And she had this telepathic contact with it. It was always coming around and sort of linking up to her. And I went over to her house and I interviewed her several times, and we actually went out looking for it on one occasion. And she said it was hanging out in this one valley, which is off the Angeles Crest Highway.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled over. This was late at night. And no sooner had we got out of the car when we all three heard this long, low, loud growl. It was very prolonged and very deep. And we all looked at each other and said, "Did you hear that?" And we started scrambling for our recorders, our cameras, and, you know, audio recorders.
Mm-hmm.
And it growled twice more right after that. And it was loud, loud enough, you know, for it scared us a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I don't know. I tend to think that there's some paranormal aspect to a lot of the Bigfoot reports, because there's so many accounts of people shooting at them, and not one has actually, no one succeeded in harming one, as far as I know, or bringing one down.
Yeah, they had some people here up in the Dalles area that were out hunting, and they actually shot it. There was two Bigfoot up there, and they shot at them. And the thing started howling, and the male came running down. It looked like there was a male and female, and the guy was watching them through a scope. And then they started looking at him and howled at him. He got scared, and he started shooting at it. And this thing came running down the hill, and he had like two or three dogs with him, and the dogs took off. They just got the heck out of there. And he took off running. He dropped his rifle and ran. And when he went back up to the area with a bunch of his buddies, he got a whole bunch of buddies with rifles, went back up to the area, they found his gun. And, you know, this steel was just twisted into a pretzel.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, it's another case I've heard a lot of people trying to shoot him, but you never really, there was some guy on our bill, I guess, a while back that said he shot a couple. But who knows, you know, I don't know if that story was true or not.
Yeah, I've actually heard of many cases, but no one has ever actually been able to injure a Bigfoot to the point where it lies down on the ground, and, you know, or...
Yeah, they never really produced the body, you know. They talk about they shot it, but they never can't produce any physical evidence. But up here, they seem to be getting quite a lot of photos, and there's a lot more sightings now. And what's interesting in the same area is that people are seeing the Bigfoot, they're seeing the UFOs as well.
Yeah, I heard of another account. I just interviewed a lady recently who had a really exciting Bigfoot sighting up in Kern County. She was on a ride-along with a police officer who was her friend.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to this area where a lady had complained of a bear that was going into her dumpster. So when they got there, she said, "The bear is here now, come." And so they arrived at this place, which was like a trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the last trailer on the end, and then there were the dumpsters. So they pulled up and walked around the corner, and there was this 8 foot tall hairy figure going through the garbage. And it turned around and looked at them, and they could obviously see it wasn't a bear. And the lady described this typical Bigfoot with, you know, 3-4 inch hair all over its body, of almost human looking face. And otherwise, you know, just your typical Bigfoot. And it started howling and growling. And the lady who complained originally, she came out on her doorstep with a shotgun,
mm-hmm.
and shot over the Bigfoot's head. And that, I guess, scared it, and it took off into the forest. But they returned to the station that evening, and there was reports, calls coming in all over the place of UFO sightings.
Hmm.
So I don't know. There is a connection there. I know another guy I talked to who... this story is actually secondhand. He talked to someone else who encountered a Bigfoot, and he at first didn't see anything. He just smelled this horrible odor when a Bigfoot suddenly appeared behind him. And then as he watched three other Bigfoot appeared, a, a female Bigfoot and two smaller ones. And a telepathic conversation ensued in which the Bigfoot said that they're able to disappear and appear at will in order to avoid detection.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they're real creatures, but I do think that they've got abilities that which we haven't mastered yet, or at least most humans haven't.
It seems to be that my understanding of it is that they evolved in nature. And, you know, there's all kinds of stories about shamans being able to appear and disappear, and they're very involved in nature. They spend most of their time in nature. And I had there was a lama I studied with that people took pictures of him, and he would start to disappear, and you could see the paintings behind him on the wall.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to get at, is that this is probably a natural ability that we all have.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But the Bigfoot have just really, like you said, evolved.
Yeah, a lot of, I was talking to one scientist, I won't mention his name, but he was saying that these are nothing more than dumb apes out there, and they're like a missing link, and they're just wild, you know, basically dumb apes. And he was putting all this gear out there, and up here, I won't even say where they are, but there's people that actually feed them. They put out cucumbers and apples for them. And if you don't feed them, they shake the house up pretty good. But I don't tell people where this is because I don't want people up there bugging them. You know, they have their space, and I kind of honor that. But the interesting thing about it is that these, you know, people are feeding these things. It's just happening everywhere right now in our area, and everybody just accepts it pretty much here. They don't like to talk about it, but they just said, oh, yeah, it's out there, and the hunters all know about it. You know, a lot of the hunters know about it, but we had two hunters run into one, and it scared them so bad at night because its eyes were glowing, and it was huge, and they ran down the hill and got in their trucks and took off, and you know, I believe these guys because they didn't want to talk about it.
Right. I think sooner or later someone is going to get proof. There's an awful lot of really good footage coming out.
Yeah, there's a lot of footage, and we actually found the hair up here. We found some long strands of hair, and they were 3 to 4 inches. That the longest ones were about 4 inches. And we had them analyzed, and they turned out to be silicon-based.
Huh.
And which is totally abnormal, and we took it to a forensic scientist and a fiber specialist, and their exact words, they said that, what is this, some kind of alien technology? Because this was grown, and it's not from here. We can't grow perfect fibers like this, 3 to 4 feet tall, you know, long, or, I mean, 3 to 4 inches long and perfectly hollow.
Wow.
And silicon-based with other trace elements in them.
Wow, that's outstanding evidence.
So, yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm kind of wondering if there aren't more than one Bigfoot, there might be a kind of a natural one that evolved naturally, and there's probably maybe an ET Bigfoot they use as a big dog, you know, to keep people out of sensitive areas they're working on.
Right. Well, I mean, there's the Yeti, too, of course, and others. And you have to wonder, I mean, like the Chupacabra and things like this, there's all sorts of new things coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So
I have a theory on Chupacabra. I think it's one of our own experiments run amok because it's the perfect creature to keep. You know, people go, is it demon? Is it alien? What is it? You know, and so...
I know, it's very science fiction-y.
Yeah, it'll totally, you know, on one end of it, people go, well, you better start praying. You know, you better start going to church or the Chupacabra's going to get you, you know. Or they're saying, hey, we've got these aliens out here that could be munching on people, and so we really need protection and got to beef up our military, you know, and get all the toys to go with it. So, you know, it's the perfect little device to create fear and to keep the people controlled. I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't something that we've biologically engineered and let go.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably the most popular theory, too. I mean, it doesn't seem to have a strong UFO connection.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know, really know what to make of it.
Like, sure loves chickens and likes to bite people every now and then. You know, but that's amazing things. I've heard about this bird, too. Have you heard about this... just this enormous bird they keep seeing?
You know, I do. I have heard of it, and I know someone, actually, who's very skeptical of things that are paranormal, and he told me about this sighting of this bird as a child that he had, and he would never, ever go public with the story. He's not that kind of guy. But he's told me about it three or four times very reluctantly. I know him very well. And he said the wingspan, it was a bird. It was not anything but a bird, but it was no bird he's ever seen before. It was enormous. He said it had a wingspan of like 50 feet or more. It was like a plane. It was so big.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it as a child. He wouldn't tell me where he saw it, or I haven't been able to get that many details out of him really at all. But I can tell.
It seems to go back and forth from Alaska to they've seen it other places, but it seems to live, you know, more towards Alaska in that area. I've got Nick Bajic coming in here to this conference that we have coming up, and I'm going to ask him if he's heard anything about it, you know. He probably won't go public with it. <you know? laughs> But
there's a lot of strange creatures we have going on. And here in California, there's, you know, all the lakes on here. I wrote a book, Supernatural California. That's my latest.
Mm-hmm.
And we have at least four lakes with unknown sea serpents or sea monsters in them. Lake monsters, I guess you'd call them. And like Lake Tahoe, there's some unknown creature there that's 40, 50 feet long. The skeptics say it's a sturgeon, which grows, you know, about 12 feet long,
mm-hmm.
15 feet long. But I don't think that's it. It's actually sighted, you know, several times a year, regularly. It's been filmed. And they still don't know what it is.
I know parts of that lake are pretty deep. I used to go swimming there quite a bit, and I never really thought about that.
Yeah, it's actually like 1,600 feet deep, 22 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of places for, you know, a sea monster to hide. And I don't know, it's just interesting that we have these very large creatures, which still remain unexplained.
I know they're trying to take a lot of submersibles down there and little mini subs and things, and they were they weren't allowed to bring them in there, and they're going to do a lot of experimentation and check out what is, you know, at the deepest parts of the lake, and the gist of the story was that there's probably a lot of people there with cement shoes on, so they couldn't get the permits to put the little submarines in there, you know.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I heard Jacques Cousteau tried to mount an expedition, but I don't know if that I wasn't able to confirm that as anything beyond a rumor.
Yeah, there's some friends of mine that live in Tahoe, and I asked them about that, and that's what they told me. They said, oh, they'll never let them explore the depths of Lake Tahoe because of the, you know, all the people in there with cement shoes. I thought that was kind of interesting.
There's another lake down in San Diego, Lake Hodges, which is actually a really old lake, 30,000 years old or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dammed up in the early 1900s and made much bigger. But it's had reports of the sea serpent-like creature stretching back hundreds of years. Again, like Lake Tahoe, it was sighted by the Indians, the Native Americans, first. But it's been photographed several times, some really amazing photographs. It looks mm-hmm. just like a plesiosaur. Mm-hmm. You can actually see these photographs on the Internet.
And which lake is that again?
Excuse me?
What was the name of the lake again?
Lake Hodges.
Lake Hodges.
Yeah. And if you type in Hodgee on the Internet, Hodgee, it'll probably bring you up to those photographs.
I've heard of that, actually.
So it's in a really amazing case. I mean, they tried to kill the monster off by putting all this rotenone in the lake, which actually kills all the life in the lake. And everyone thought, well, they're trying to get the monster.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it didn't affect it because the reports started surfacing soon after they reopened the lake.
And I wonder if they have some kind of an undersea opening or something of that nature that goes
yeah, out. I heard that's possible with Lake Tahoe also, but I don't know. It's definitely possible. The Earth definitely has all sorts of caverns and underground stuff going on, like Mount Shasta.
Oh, yeah.
There's supposedly an underground city underneath Mount Shasta.
I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these lakes are all connected, you know, in one way. I know all the pyramids are connected with underground tunnels, so I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't, you know, little underground inlets or something like that.
There's all sorts of stuff going on underground. I think there's all sorts of UFO bases around here.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, you know, for my book UFOs Over California. I was surveying all the reports of UFOs off the coast here, and I found about 50 underwater UFO reports off this one certain stretch of coastline, which stretches from about Long Beach, I would say, Palos Verdes, upwards to Santa Cruz, Santa Barbara, that area, and the Santa Barbara Islands.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole Santa Catalina Channel, actually, is where it's really, really active.
And, my brother just called me. It was quite interesting. He called me on the phone. He goes, "You're not going to believe what I'm looking at." And I said, "What, a UFO?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he said, "It's enormous." And it came off the coast. He lives in Santa Cruz, California. It came off the coast, and it flew right over along the fault lines there, that San Andreas there, and it was moving up and down the fault line. And he was there with a bunch of other people, and he says, "Does anybody have a camera?" He goes, "Do you see that?" And the other people saw it too, and quite a few witnesses were watching this enormous golden orb. It was very big, and it seemed to be doing something on the fault line, moving up and down like it was, you know, beaming something into the fault line. And you know, I have a theory that one of the reasons why we haven't had these massive quakes down there, and they keep, you know, getting these smaller quakes and smaller slides, because they're doing something on the fault line to relieve a lot of the pressure and get to slide, you know, a little slower than you know, doing the big event, you know, like having the big 8.0s or whatever.
Right. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, that volcano down in Mexico City, Mount Popocatépetl, whatever you call it.
Yeah, Popocatépetl. I don't even know if I said it right.
That sounds better than mine, but yeah, UFOs have been seen all over that volcano, and they've got numerous photographs.
Uh-huh.
But you know,
did you see the photograph of the UFO descending down into the volcano?
Yes.
That was amazing. And it came back out, and lava was dripping off it, and then the mountain settled down.
It's incredible. There's no doubt that they're more than monitoring it. They're definitely affecting it in some way. And I know that, you know, in Topanga Canyon, I wrote a book about a wave of sightings there, which occurred in 1992 to 1994. And in 1994, we actually had the Northridge earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And just the night prior to that, there was a huge wave of sightings over Southern California. And a number of people told me that UFOs woke them up. And a couple of people were given warnings. Someone was told, "Don't worry, you'll be okay." A UFO hovered over her house, and it freaked her out so bad she went out into the living room to sleep. And then the earthquake hit, you know, a couple of hours later, and her bedroom was destroyed. So she felt the UFO somehow saved her.
Yeah, I think they're doing a lot on our behalf. I've seen numerous accounts of reports and sightings of them flying up and down the major fault lines and you know, hovering around certain volcanoes, and they seem to settle down a little bit. And you know, they're up in space. They're sitting right between us and the sun, and expanding their fields and blocking, you know, kill shots from the sun, coronal mass ejections. And NASA has it's on the SOHO site. NASA's been photographing this, but they won't release it, you know, to the public. And you know, they've taken an active role in our nuclear nonsense as well, shutting down, you know, our nuclear sites and shooting some of our test missiles, you know, out of the air.
Right.
Showing us that, you know, we can't play with these toys anymore. They're not going to allow us.
Absolutely. People, you know, there's all this talk about abductions and how scary and they are, and are they for our own good or not.
Mm-hmm.
But when people have an onboard UFO experience, it's true, I think, that the examination is the one detail that's reported most. But the mm-hmm. second most reported detail, at least according to Thomas Bullard's study of 130 cases, I think it was, or 300 cases, the second most commonly reported detail is warnings of environmental disaster and nuclear proliferation and this kind of thing. So obviously the ETs do have some concern in this area. And
yeah,
this is true for abductees and contactees. And so
it seems the same. That somebody was asking me, you know, what is the message? You know, what's the big message from the ETs? And I was telling them, it's the same message every master and saint has given you throughout the millennium, you know, and that's to be kind to each other and be kind to the planet. You know, it's real simple.
Exactly. It's funny. People I've talked to have had really major ET contact experiences. The ones who've really gone far with processing it all kind of are transformed by it, and they become vegetarians, they're environmentalists, they're healers, and it's amazing how spiritually transformed these people become as a result of their experiences. I know that's true for me, even though I haven't really had what you would call an onboard experience that I can recall at least. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of interaction, and it's really led me to this, you know, out-of-body experiences and all sorts of new avenues of...
I've always told people that you'll really never understand this UFO enigma until you get out of your body. How do you feel about that?
I'm not exactly sure what you mean. That's interesting. It's
a multidimensional experience, and people are trying to pigeonhole it and make it into nuts and bolts and things of that nature, but until you realize that you're a multidimensional being and you can experience these other levels, you know, people are still trying to pigeonhole this enigma into nuts and bolts and metal craft, and they don't realize that there's, you know, there are physical craft, but there's also energy ships and light ships and ships that are Merkabahs or pure consciousness.
Right. You know, people often ask me, well, do you believe the ETs are biological beings from another planet? Are they interdimensional time travelers, or what are they? And I always point out, well, you know, we ourselves are interdimensional. We have the ability to travel out of our body and do all sorts of interdimensional travels. And I believe the ETs have mastered that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a technology or mind power, I don't know. But I'm certain that, you know, they have really mastered the ability to move about on the other side, so to speak.
Yeah, it's my understanding that a lot of these ETs could actually levitate before they had, you know, anti-gravity or counter-gravity. And so their technology actually grew along with their spirituality, where we've done the opposite. We're getting a hold of all this technology, but we're spiritually backwards, and you know, that could create a real serious problem, which seems to be that one of the major concerns of the ET.
That's interesting. That could explain why there seems to be such a strong push for, I mean, why people react so spiritually transformed as a result of their encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all the time. People become psychic or some, you know. One lady I talked to, after she had a bedroom visitation where an ET came in and just kind of probed her body with a pencil-like instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, she became a vegetarian and she started saving every seed she could get her hands on. Peach seeds, you know, celery seeds, anything anyone ate, she wanted the seeds from them. And I don't know, it's very interesting. I've seen that pattern several times.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I'm kind of guilty of that. Whenever I buy fruit or cherries or whatever, you know, fruit, peaches or apricots or whatever, I always have a big jar of seeds. And I save all the seeds and put it, you know, every one of them into the ground.
Isn't that interesting? See, it's something I've heard before.
Yeah, we have quite the orchard here now. I've been doing it for about 20 years. But maybe that's where that comes from. But
yeah,
I love to save seeds and just scatter them around.
I honestly think the ETs are trying to prepare us for what might be some rough times coming up ahead with this global warming and what we're doing to our environment.
I think so, too. That's one of the things I've been guided real strongly to do, is to create a food bank and use the land, you know, as your food bank. And we put in huge gardens, and we have some real big ponds here that I haven't stocked it yet with fish, but I need to do that. And then just about everything. We have wild turkeys and grouse running around here, and deer and elk and everything, you know. But
wow.
You know, things get tough, you know. I don't know if I'd continue to be a vegetarian, you know.
Well, no, not if you're hungry.
No.
But, yeah, I've talked to a lot of people recently. I've been interviewing a lot of people who've had real extensive contact. And it's funny, they all tell me similar things of prophecies, I guess you would call them, that they've been given.
Mm-hmm.
One guy I just recently spoke with, he lives in Ohio, and he says that he's certain that Florida is going to be very badly flooded. It's going to be horrible tornadoes that go through Tornado Alley there. much worse than we've seen so far. And he also has this vision that he's had several times in which he sees cars stranded along a major highway, and people, it's a huge major disaster of some sort, and people are just walking away. None of the cars work. And a lot of people have told me similar type of major disaster scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's scare tactics on the part of the ETs to try and get us to shape up or what's going on. Because I know
it is a strong probability. I mean, I've had the same visions. And have you seen the new movie, Al Gore's movie?
No, but I am looking forward to seeing it.
Boy, the evidence he lays out is just impeccable. It's very hard to argue with. And he was saying just with, you know, half of the polar caps melting, you know, that pretty much is a scenario. And that, you know, he showed that we are going to have extreme weather and huge hurricanes and all of this going on. But, you know, there's a couple things he didn't factor in. And one was the increase in volcanic activity underneath the oceans that's actually creating, you know, things are heating up even more. And he didn't factor in any of the movement underneath the oceans where continents are going to be moving up and shelves moving up, displacing the water. But just with a real conservative approach to it, it doesn't look good for a lot of the coastlines in Florida and some of the low-lying areas.
And you know, it's funny, it's not only the scientists who are saying this and the ETs, but if you look at accounts of near-death experiencers,
mm-hmm.
they're having very similar visions, like Danion Brinkley.
Exactly.
And channelers, and even more importantly, I think, are the Native Americans, the Hopis, and you know, people like Rolling Thunder, and a lot of the Native Americans are coming out forward now, predicting terrible disasters. So we're in for it. I mean, the tidal wave, the recent tsunami, is a perfect example
mm-hmm.
of, I think, what we're going to be seeing a lot more of.
Well, the Earth is definitely overheating, and it's expanding, and the sun is expanding, and we're going to move into another solar maximum, I guess, in 2007. Where we're going to get the massive flares and coronal mass ejections again, which is going to create even more overheating. So, you know, that pressure has to be released somehow. And as the Earth expands, because it is definitely overheating, you know, we are going to see, you know, a lot more earthquake and volcanic activity, as well as massive storms like we've never seen before.
All right. One lady I talked to, the ETs wonder not only of upcoming earthquakes and things like this, but upcoming political and social collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, if you're a part of the system, you're a part of the problem. Which I think there's a message that I hear a lot is people who have contact try and get off the grid and sort of, you know, be able to survive without having to go to the store and without having electricity and things like this.
Yeah, I'm seeing that the way it's explained to me is that there's a downward spiral of you might say devolution, and then there's the upward spiral of evolution. And the people that are on the upward spiral are choosing to live in harmony with each other and the planet. And they're transcending all religious and cultural boundaries and, you know, choosing to live by universal peace and brother-sister love and the basics, you know. And then you've got the other people that want to continue with the greed and the profit at any expense and the competition, and they're taking that downward spiral. And I'm seeing that, you know, my experience or what I've been told is that the polarities are going to get very clear on who's who, and one is going to go that way. It's going to go into eventual, you know, collapse.
Yeah, that's what this lady was told. There's going to be a civil war type of thing within the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that happening.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be incredible supportive energies for those that are choosing the upward spiral, and these same energies are going to amplify and accelerate everything. So they're going to accelerate the downward spiral as well. The people that choose that one, which will actually end in, you know, social, economic, and environmental cleansing, you might say. You know,
right. This is really the only thing that's stopping, I think, in my opinion, open official contact is our warlike ways, our prejudices, all this greed and stuff that's going on. I mean, every time a UFO appears, like over the White House in 1954, I believe, or 52.
52, yeah.
We shot at it. We chased it after it with planes. you know, jets and tried to bring them down. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we, you know, stop having wars and fighting each other just because of, you know, the color of our skin or our religious differences, UFOs are not going to make any official landing, I don't think.
Yeah, we can't even get along with the races here on the planet, so how are we going to get along with the blue race, you know, or the green race, or the race that's 10 feet tall, you know? Or...
And yet at the same time, I think there's a lot of evidence that they're already among us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of human-looking ETs, ones that look just like us.
Oh, definitely there are.
And they're all around us all the time.
I love what this one older woman said. I love what she said. She said, you know, she goes, everybody's waiting for the big invasion or the big land. She said, it already happened. It's in the body.
I know. I have to shake my head at the SETI program, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. There they are.
That's a bad joke.
Oh, God, it's just an unbelievable waste of money.
They take billions and millions of dollars or whatever and try to use radio waves, which, I mean, shit, those ships fly faster than radio waves. You know, what are they going to do, park and wait for the signal to get to them? You know, they're not going to be using radio waves. It's unbelievable. But I've had them follow me around, Seth Shustak. Whenever I go and speak and show all the footage we have here and show the undeniable evidence that we have, he seems to pop on the TV right behind me saying that there's no evidence whatsoever. There's, you know, the last one he said, he said, with all of our top secret spy satellites monitoring the Earth, we would know if UFOs were here or not. And so I asked him the question. I said, well, how is it a private organization has access to top secret spy satellites? And that, you know, that kind of pulled the rug out of that program. But
that's probably part of the cover-up. I don't know.
Yeah, because I went on ABC here, and in the local ABC, and it started to go national, and they just shut it down. And then the next thing you know, Seth Shustak's up there saying, there are no UFOs. We'd know about it if there were and everything. So
basically,
he's just a mouthpiece for the denial, you know, the disinformation.
Right. The government, we all know the government knows. I mean, if you're a researcher, it's very easy to get proof of that.
But yeah, you know what I see is that these guys, there's one or two things. Either they're part of the disinformation or they're in such denial and so ignorant, you know, as to the ways of the universe. It's got to be one or the other. And I don't think these guys are that stupid.
I sure hope not.
You know?
I really hope not.
I can't believe these guys have a PhD. You know, I have colonels coming up here and base commanders, and they're trying to find out more about these UFOs and because they can't get the information on the interdimensional ones and the higher beings, the benevolent ones, because there's really nothing they can do about these guys.
Right, they're just too advanced. Wow.
They know it, so they're trying to learn more about them, and it's just amazing. I had one colonel call me and tell me why was I doing this. I need to stop talking about the UFOs, and it's all nonsense and everything. You know, and I asked him, I said, excuse me, sir. I said, first of all, I'm a civilian, you know, and I said, second of all, I said, how is it you made it to colonel and you don't even know about UFOs? I said, why are you outside the loop? And he started changing his tune real quick. You know.
That's amazing. I had a very similar experience. A colonel called me and told me I was barking up the wrong tree with this UFO stuff. And he gave me a long list of his accomplishments, how he was top secret, this and that. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you know, I believe in that they're here. I think there's a lot of evidence for it. I don't know. People who are in denial are going to be in for a real rude shock because these craft are not going away. I think there's an escalation, if anything, of activity.
And well, I think in the next 2 years it's going to be undeniable, and even sooner.
Judging by
what we're seeing here, and Mexico, I mean, there are 200 ships, or sometimes over 1,000 ships, in the air there, and they're filming these.
I know, it's incredible. It's not making the evening news. I don't understand it, but like the Phoenix Lights, there's a good example of something we can't really ignore. Something like that's going to happen over New York City or Los Angeles. Or
didn't it take something like 6 or 7 years for it to even hit the news? It was like, it was very localized and kept quiet. And then it seems like 6 or 7 years later, all of a sudden you see it's on the news.
Yeah, and they're still talking about it, and they're still trying to cover it up. I remember the police said that they received only a few calls, and later they admitted that they received over 1,000. So I don't know what's going on with this cover-up. It cannot be maintained much longer if these people who are doing it want to remain in control.
Well, I think the cover-up is pretty much over because, you know, they did a Time CNN poll, and over 80% of the people believe that, you know, UFOs do exist and there is a government cover-up. And I think one of the Roper polls said 70-something, I don't know, 76, 78% or
right. So
something
the government
like that.
They're in a tough spot.
Well, you know, the question that the people have to ask is that, you know, if 80% of the people believe UFOs are real and there's a government cover-up, who is the government working for?
Huh.
You know, that's the question that people aren't able to know. Wait a second, if 80% of the people want to know the truth, then who are these people working for?
Right.
You know, and that should give them a real clue as to you know, how much the will of the people is you know, being honored, you know, within our government agencies, you might say.
Well, we're having, no doubt, a constitutional crisis. There's a lot of stuff that's been done that people have no right to do. I mean, Roswell is only one example,
mm-hmm.
where they threatened and even possibly killed people just to cover this stuff up.
I think we should just, you know, reinstate the Constitution, throw everything else out, and make government transparent again, and start shooting baskets of fruit, you know, to these other countries.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something because people are losing faith in the government, and I don't know. It's a tough situation.
They're pretty much losing all credibility, and you know, the real motives behind a lot of the things have nothing to do with humanitarian efforts or, you know, the bottom line is it's profit. And as long as they continue to profit at the expense of humanity and nature, you know, we are going to have a big karmic backlash with this.
Right. I think this is another reason for the cover-up is we know our government does have crashed UFOs. Roswell is only one of them. They have like 40 or 50 at least,
mm-hmm.
of these craft, which they've reverse engineered and no doubt do have what people would call free energy or zero-point energy.
Exactly.
And the only reason it's not being released is because we're an oil-based economy. I mean, between cars and oil, that's 50% of our economy right there.
Well, I know physicists that have not just anti-gravity, they have counter-gravity, and they have fuel-less energy devices that produce enormous amounts of energy. But there's no way. I would not even recommend them coming forward right now because they've already been threatened. They've had their labs burned. Their families threatened, and they've had all these problems, and they just, you know, right now, I would almost recommend, you know, until the people rise up and make it possible for this to come up forward, it's not going to come forward.
Well, the technology can't be suppressed forever. I know the military has all sorts of stuff. I know they have levitating beams within, you know, right here in China Lake, the base here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
They have equipment taken from a UFO, which allows them to levitate large objects like tanks and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. The technology cannot be suppressed forever.
There's a guy that created the special way of treating water, and I can't remember his name, but you know, any car could run on water with this device, and he went and pretty much the military had a big dinner for him and grabbed his technology, paid him a whole bunch of money, and he went home and died, was poisoned. You know, so, you know, they have the technology to run the tanks, you know, and run the military machines with right now. They can run them on water, but, you know, we aren't going to be seeing that technology.
It's unbelievable to me that anyone would make a choice to, you know, destroy the Earth rather than, I mean, there's got to be a way to release this technology where they can maintain their greedy control over the money. I don't know.
It is amazing. It's I think we're one of the only species that will totally destroy our environment and kill each other over it, you know. The other species don't even, you know, kill their own. Most of them don't.
Right. It's no wonder we have a parade of so many different types of ETs coming here to watch us.
Yeah.
I mean, we must be a very unusual case.
I bet they have, like, TV programs there, where, you know, like, As the Earth Turns, and, and they They just, you know, they probably watch what we do, and they probably have anthropologists there, these ET anthropologists watching us saying, telling them what's going on, and nobody can believe them. They're saying, there's no way. Nobody would be that way, you know?
Right.
Nobody would totally destroy their environment. Nobody would kill their own, withhold technology, and you know, they wouldn't let these children die hideous deaths in these cancer wards and things like that. That's, you know, they probably, it's so far beyond them, they couldn't even believe it, that somebody would withhold a cure, you know, for profit or things like that. And
it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for a lot of us here on Earth, it's mind-boggling. There's a lot, I think that's why they get away with it, because nobody actually believes that that could happen, that somebody would be that dark and that greedy and that selfish to withhold these technologies that could save lives and restore the planet and clean up the Earth. You know, people just have a hard time believing that that's possible and that there would be huge networks of people involved in blocking this.
Right. Well, I do have confidence that the truth will win out somehow, and, you know.
Oh, exactly. I always tell people, you've got the big three. You have the war industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and the oil industry running the planet. And so people wonder why we don't have peace, you know, why we don't have the cure for disease, and how come we don't have this fuelless technology? And your answer's right there.
Right.
It's very simple. It's all having to do with profit and greed and continuing to keeping the people enslaved through dependency.
Right. And it's funny, the military-industrial complex, they may think they're running the planet, but also on this planet are a whole group of enlightened masters. There's a whole group of ETs that are watching what's going on. And so if something really momentous were to happen, I think we might see some intervention from some of these groups.
Well, that's what I've been getting over and over again, is that there is going to be some intervention, and it's already in the works right now, and there is going to be a major acceleration of karma, you might say, for these certain individuals, and they know it. They know that their time's up, and they're going to have their day of review where they're going to have to, you know, experience and feel any pain or suffering they've inflicted on others, and a lot of them are aware of this and starting to wake up to the fact that they aren't separate from the rest of humanity and the Earth, and there is going to be a price for any harm they've caused to either.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard people say that we're going to shift into a higher dimension or a higher vibration. I'm not sure what that means, but It seems to me people are becoming more psychic and, you know, becoming aware of past lives. They're becoming much more spiritual. So I think there's a growing trend in that direction, definitely.
Oh, it's undeniable. There's an old saying, you know, not to get religious, but Jesus said, you know, no rock should be left unturned. And my interpretation of that is people are plugging into an ability called direct knowing, where they're just going to know what's going on. And outside the media, you know, the controlled media, and the telepathic abilities are going to kick on. And they're just going to know and be in tune with the higher force and be in touch with their souls, and pretty soon this other element won't be able to function.
Wow, yeah, it's amazing what's going on. I mean, there's just a lot of changes I think we're going to experience. I'm really hopeful
yeah.
that
there's definitely one thing. You know, what's that Chinese proverb? You know, may you live in interesting times or something like that.
Right.
And we're definitely moving in that direction, because it's getting real interesting out there.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we're right on the cusp of some sort of official government announcement that UFOs are real, which I know has been rumored forever.
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, it's got to come.
I think the real disclosure is going to come from the UFOs, and it's already started. And they're going to have so much egg on their face, they're going to have to say something, whether they try to put the spin on it or twist it into something negative so that they can keep, you know, more money rolling into the war industry, who knows. But, you know, there's really nothing they can do about this, because these beings are, you know, millions if not billions of years ahead of us, you know, in technology and evolution, you might say. So there's not a lot they can do, and you know, it is our destiny to join the rest of the universe in peace. And I keep getting that message over and over. There will be world peace, and, you know, we're going through some really hard times right now, but it's a process that we're going through, and eventually we will join the rest of the universe in peace.
Yeah, I totally believe that. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, it's such a limited world we live in. You know, people can't even imagine having a vehicle they could go out to that they don't have to fuel up. They could hop in their vehicle, you know, fly to Australia, have breakfast, you know, take off and zip over to Hawaii and have lunch, you know, and swim with the dolphins, and then get back in their vehicle and be back home before dinner. And, you know, we have that technology on the planet right now. And, you know, and it doesn't require fuel, and it doesn't even need tires. And we could all be living in homes that are alive, you know, that are very, you know, earth-friendly, you know, with the fuelless energy and all of our needs being met. But, you know, we just don't know how not to compete. We don't know how to work in the highest and best good for humanity, the earth, and cooperate to bring this about. And I think that's part of our job to keep reminding people that it's time to stop competing and start cooperating and work together in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth.
All right. Just imagine if we could take all the money from wars and take that and just apply it to curing diseases or something helpful.
Oh, yeah. You'd see heaven on earth in a minute. You know?
It would be so fast. There's so much money being diverted to destruction. But if
exactly.
We just put a little bit to construction...
I think it's interesting that you're saying that, because that's the same thing I was getting, is that, you know, if we just woke up, if the people rose up and just said, enough's enough, we want peace. I don't care what color you are, what religion you are, we're going to make peace first and foremost priority, and we're going to take all that money and divert it back into the infrastructure and feeding the hungry and, you know, taking care of the homeless and bringing in earth-friendly technologies. We would take such a quantum leap in evolution and consciousness here. It would just be amazing, but it isn't going to happen through organizations or agencies. It's only going to happen through the hearts and the minds of the people.
Well, it should be a very interesting future, because I do think it's inevitable.
Yeah, there's so many grassroots things coming together right now, and I'm also seeing, too, is that there's a higher force working on subtle levels that's coming through the very soul itself, so it's in our future. There's nothing that can stop it. We're just kind of walking through the painful letting go phase of the past.
Right. I think a lot more people are having contact. I'm sure talking to a lot of people who've had contact, and it's not at all really, I think, what the popular conception of UFO contact is. People think of abductions, again, like I said, that they're scary and evil, but it's not really like that at all. I found that almost everyone I've talked to feels that the ETs are benevolent, or at the very least neutral. So,
yeah,
and that's true for
their own fear that gets amplified or accelerated,
right?
You know, in the contact, and once they settle down and realize that, you know, I'm not saying there aren't some negative experiences out there, but it seems the majority of it is benevolent, but the negative gets all the press.
Exactly.
Which goes into Hollywood, which is, I mean, those guys putting out movies like War of the World and Signs and all this other nonsense. You know, Cocoon and E.T. were the only ones that had some reality base to them.
Right. I still find it interesting that, like, half of the top 10 gross movies of all times are about E.T.s.
Yeah.
And, like, Star Wars and E.T. and, well, you know, a lot of major blockbusters.
Oh, yeah, we've got, I always tell people, if you told the truth, it's so much more outrageous than the fantasy. And if you just bring the truth about ETs and who they are and the history of ETs in our past and how they've intervened and been involved with our religions and everything, it would be such an outrageous film, you know, to do a benevolent one, that, and people would make millions off it, you know, because the real truth is outrageous, and it'd be quite an effort to bring it out, you know, and I think it would hit people in the soul, because a lot of us, you know, came from these other dimensions and other worlds, and, you know, incarnated here, you know, when you use a little reminder to kick it on.
Right. I'm so upset that we're still at the stage of trying to prove to skeptics that UFOs are real, because
we don't even try to prove anymore. You know, we just say it's as you wish. That's like the name of this radio show. It's As You Wish Talk Radio. You This is a big fruit plate we're putting out here, and you can enjoy it or you can ignore it. And loved either way, you know, but eventually you're going to have to open up to a greater reality, because it's unfolding all around everyone, and there's no way of denying it. It looks like we're going a little bit over the hour here, so we're going to have to be signing off. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's a great interview. And can you give your website out?
Oh, yeah, sure. My website is actually my name, PrestonDennett.com. So it's D as in David, E-N-N-E-T-T, just one word. And I've got all my books on there, most of them actually, not the last one. Mm-hmm. I've got another book coming out too, the UFO Incident at Coronado Island. So that's a really exciting case involving lots of witnesses and physical evidence.
Oh, great. And they can get all these books on your website or Amazon as well.
Exactly.
Just by typing in your name, I'm sure everything will come up.
Yes.
Well, great. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and we'll have to have you back real soon.
Oh, thank you. It was great. I had a great time.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off, and have a great evening.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.